You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carty, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints up in Baltimore?
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic
and they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, everybody. This is Marco Bill and Alex Hearn. Say, you know, Tom Biscardi and the team are on expedition right now, and they're en route. And so Alex volunteered to take the show over, and if he does a good job, Tom's going to give it to him for a lifetime submission. But we have a pretty really neat show. Let me get Alex on the air here, and hold on one. Alex, are you out there, my friend?
Hi, Marco.
How you doing tonight?
Not bad. How's everybody doing?
Doing great. Well, tonight we have just a little bit of a different way we're going to do things here. We've got some guests that we've invited on the show, and the theme of the show is we're going to have the guests talk about what got them into squatching, and then a little bit short talk about their experiences, and then what they've been finding, or what have they been working on this past year, what types of things have they been involved in this past year. Hey, Alex, do you want to give a little shout-out to our people in the chat room?
Certainly. I'm sitting right here on it. Sounds like a great show you got lined up, too. We got Billy Green out there. How you doing, Billy? We got Bison, someone new. We got BK Ruger. We got Chuck in L.A. Hey, Connie. We got the Crypto 4 Connors crew. We got Gerald. We got Clover. We got Rob Price on the air over here. We got the Snake Man, of course, and we got the Secret 48. Steve-O. You got a couple of guests in the room, too. Highlight yourself, let us know who you are, and we'll say hello to you, too. And they're all chatting away. It looks like a busy chat room tonight.
About how many people you think we got on there?
Looks like 14 right now, so that's pretty good. Doesn't quite equal last week's 30th anniversary show. I think we had like 30 people in there or more at one time.
Well, why don't you give the viewers out or the listeners out there a little bit of a overview of what you've been doing?
Well, you know, I go everywhere in Arizona or even up to New Mexico to go with JC. I've done that this year. I go all around. I'll go everywhere I can. I've been down to Gila Bend, to the Gillespie Dam area, investigating, you know, what Rogers saw down there and RPM. I've been over to the area near Young where Mitch and I had hit it kind of heavy and where everybody else finally found out about, and it's kind of, it's like a traffic jam over there sometimes on the weekends. It's amazing. And I guess we owe that to Mitch and I and Tom Biscotti. And, of course, I've been to the White Mountains with Tom, and I've been to the White Mountains, you know, outside the Indian Reservation. I've been up to Four Corners with JC, and we've been over towards the, we'll just say, the Flagstaff area, too. And Arizona is really hopping right now. I got a bunch of people that have sent me sound files. We got Mitch, who just got over 1,000 pictures. He's got to go through on the stealth cams. We had 10 of them out there, or 9, I guess. And so he's got to go through all of that, but I think he's got some interesting things already that he's noticed on a few of those pitches. And then, of course, the sound files. Mitch has an unbelievable sound file he got, and we had another one from a lady who got it near Young Mary. And, of course, we had the rock-throwing incident just two Saturdays ago, Mary's husband Dave and I. So a lot of stuff going on. And that same weekend, the guys that and I won't mention their names because they didn't tell me I could, but the guys, some guys I know were up on the other end of our area, and they had a rock-throwing incident, and, you know, it wasn't very windy that weekend, although it was really nice, and it did rain the last day. The first night, they had a tree falling. So something knocked down a tree near them, and they were camping right in the heart of the hot zone. They're not very far from where Mitch and I placed his cameras, actually where Preston placed them, because he does all the climbing.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead.
Alex, Mitch has probably got a problem dialing in. His phone is either dead or something's wrong. And I need to ask a question here of one of the numbers that's dialed in. And I need to know if it's Rob Price.
Okay.
It's Mitch. Wait, Mitch is here.
Oh, where is Mitch?
I'm here.
What number are you?
I'm the 2871.
Oh, really? I don't have a 2871 even dialed in. Well, that's so much for a control panel, right?
As long as we got them.
Well, Mitch, that's fine. Well, yeah, what I was going to say is Mitch is our first guest, and I wanted to, as I told you earlier, what we're doing is we're going through each of our guests and asking them for, you know, why they got into this being a Squatch hunter, a little brief overview of some of their experiences, and then what's been going on for this past year. And as Alex has already said, you know, Mitch and him have been really involved in a lot of different things. So, Mitch, go right ahead. Alex, go on and start it out.
Well, it's an honor to get to introduce my buddy Mitch tonight. Hey, Mitch, how you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. I guess what got you wanted me to start with what I did to get into Sasquatch hunting?
Yeah, that's the question of the night. What got you into Squatch and what got you into Bigfoot hunting? And I know you got some neat reasons that got you into it, so let's hear them.
Well, my other half is Susan Farnsworth that wrote the book on the Mogollon Monster, and I've always been pretty skeptical about it until she talked me into taking her up to the area that we're now searching. And we've camped overnight. During the middle of the night, our tent was squished on us, and we woke up to having the canvas of the tent right down on our noses. And when she reached over and grabbed her pistol and cocked it, that familiar cocking sound, whatever it was, released the tent, and it popped back up into a dome. Well, a week later is when you, I, Kyle, and Preston went up to investigate, and that's when we found our 19-inch footprint about, it was about 20 yards from the tent.
Right.
So that's what got me started.
Right off the opening area there, right in the brush, was the footprint. So I wouldn't say plain as day, but it was very close. And that's probably one of the best footprints we've gotten. It's big, it's pretty clear, and it was in a rough area too. So for it to come out that good, we were pretty lucky. And we got a hair off of that print too, although I believe it disappeared on us, correct?
Yes, it disappeared.
So what else is, I kind of mentioned your sound files and the pitches that you've gotten. Give us a brief overview, of your experiences and what's been going on, your past experiences and what's been going on this year.
Well, as far as the howling goes, we've been howled at twice now, and you were there for the first event. They came in, surrounded us. There was like three of them up on the hill. They howled at us for quite a while and then dissipated back into the woods. But the second time, which was this year, I had about 12 people there, and they howled. We heard them coming. They came up to the top of the hill over the camp. I got 33 minutes of them howling at us, and then we decided to go chase them. I guess we got brave enough to go chase them, and we took off. And we found an area where they were going to, where one of them was. We started getting out of the trucks, but unfortunately one of the guys had a truck with a burglar alarm on it that went off. And so that kind of killed it. We went back to camp, and about 20 minutes later, it was back howling at us again. So that was a real interesting night.
So you got lucky it came back after the incident, the Bigfoot curse incident. That's the kind of stuff that happens. And, we say howling, but we really need to use another term because we don't want that to be confused with a canine howl, because it certainly doesn't sound like anything canine that I've ever heard. Didn't sound like a coyote, even to some of the funny howls they make. It didn't sound like a coyote. Doesn't sound like a wolf. Sounds more like maybe a gibbon or something in that regard. A chimp, gorilla, ape. It really sounds primate. And the recording you got is just a perfect example of what we heard that very first week.
We're ready for the next.
All right, Mitch, thanks for coming on. You have a wonderful night, and get some of that stuff up on the website, mogionmonster.com, and I'm sure everybody will stop by and check it out, hear it, and see it.
Will do.
Thank you, Mitch. Take care.
Who's next, Marco?
Well, next we're going to have Rob Price. Rob, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Rob. Alex, this is Rob Price.
Hey, Rob, my good buddy Rob from Alabama.
What's going on, Alex?
How you doing, buddy? How's everything going?
Doing pretty good. Things are going well right now. Getting prepared to head out and strike out in the morning.
Oh, awesome. You're coming out west, I guess, huh?
Yep, that's the plan. Should take about 4 days to get where I'm going.
Well, safe driving. You've been all over the country searching for Bigfoot. First off, what got you into squatching? That's the question of the night. What got you into Bigfoot hunting, either this year or in the first place?
Well, what actually got me interested in it is, I guess, pretty much the same thing that got everyone else interested in Sasquatch, just curiosity and wanting to know what's going on. As far as personal experiences I've had with Bigfoot, I haven't had that many. You witnessed the first one. We were both together when this transpired in Arizona. But actually, what got me into Bigfoot hunting, believe it or not, was nothing more than a simple email.
To you or to someone else?
To Tom Biscardi.
That's the ticket. And I bet he answered you right away, too.
Oh, of course. He sent me an email back within the hour.
Yep, that's Tom. That's Tom. So outside of what you told us, and we've kind of told everybody about our experience up in the White Mountains on the Apache Reservation, me, you, and Steve, and we had Java and Tom on the thermal, I believe, down below us, and another crew below them. What's going on this past year besides that? Tell us about some of the other experiences you had during your trip with Steve and Java Bob.
Well, we had a really interesting experience with Chuck Krill down in the southern part of my state, Alabama, where we had a state worker cutting driveway on the side of a dirt road who saw a creature stand up from the area of a culvert and stand up on top of the hill. And it scared the man so bad that he locked himself in the vehicle, and they had to call back to his office that he's deployed from and get the spare key of the truck to get him out of it because he was scared so bad he wouldn't unlock the door when the other workers came to ride home that evening.
I wouldn't have opened it either. And it's taken a lot less than that to get me to lock the doors a couple times. How far away was he?
According to the report, after me and Java Bob got there and took the man's report, he was somewhere around 50 to 60 yards from the creature, riding a big piece of road clearing equipment.
So did you get right into the same location he saw the creature?
We got right into the same location and cast two footprints.
That's usually what Tom and Java and you guys do, right? You get right in there, and usually as quick as possible after the incident. And you got two footprints this time. That's really cool. How big were they?
One of them was 16 and a half inches wide, long, and it was roughly 8 inches wide. The other one, you can't really tell. It was just a toe imprint, you know, where it was like taking off to run, made a long stride. It's about 4.5 to 5 foot stride on this one.
Ooh, that's a big boy.
He actually turned and, you know, just kind of bolted off.
That's a big boy.
State worker, the second he stopped the piece of equipment he was on, which, you know, he saw it and he just hit the clutch and stopped. The creature turned and run.
Wow.
It was just that fast.
It don't take very long, does it? They move quick.
Well, it might have been, you know, a good 4 or 5 seconds, but, you know, in that 4 or 5 seconds, you know, it seems like an eternity when you see something like that.
Usually once that happens, you're hooked, too. If you have any sort of curiosity, you want to find out what that was. That's what kind of had me going from my first encounter. I didn't get to see anything, but I get chased out of the woods, and I always wanted to know what that was.
Exactly. It's just the thrill of the hunt once you get out there.
So you got a long drive coming up. We want you to be safe. Maybe we'll give you a couple of calls during your ride, check in with you, make sure you're heading okay and everything's going well.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
It's always a pleasure.
Sure.
All right, Rob, thanks for coming in. Thanks for calling in. Marco, who's next?
Well, by golly, let me tell you, it's going to be our friend J.C. Johnson. What I got to do? Oops. Here we go. J.C., you're on, buddy.
I've been unmuted.
I unmuted you.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not bad, J.C. How you doing?
Fantastic. Pleasure to be here with you guys tonight.
And Marco said, let there be sound.
Let there be sound.
Well, you know what, J.C.? I thought about this question, the question of the night, and I realized I never asked you this. We spent a weekend together, and I can't believe I never asked you this. What got you into cryptozoology and specifically squatching, Bigfoot hunting?
Some years ago, actually many, many years ago, more years than I care to talk about, I was an outdoor guide, and we started running into stuff up on the your place, the Mogollon Rim, and areas like that, and things that go back to my childhood also, but especially out here in the Four Corners area, we started running into things. And I always considered Sasquatch to be a Pacific Northwest entity. I'd never thought that, you know, it was something that was out here, and I found out otherwise, obviously. And some years ago, I became interested, and we have been pursuing ever since. And we've had our share. My goodness, me, oh my. If you give me a two-hour show, and I'll just relay encounters with you.
Oh, I know. We get on like though, and it just seems to go on.
Like a six-hour show. A six-hour show with some breaks. You know, we'll play some commercials, and I'll come back, and then, I'll choreograph the last 20 years of my presence with these creatures.
Tell everybody what a greasy bastard is.
I'll tell you what, and the thing is, with the photos, you are zoomed in, zoomed up, you are just so sure you've got the most excellent photo that has ever been taken, and it comes out to be a greasy bastard, and the details are minute and everything else, and a lot of times the way they move, the quickness of these creatures and the way they are, I call them a greasy bastard too, because they're so quick. They're a blur.
They're a blur. They're almost, you never see them clearly. You know what I noticed in the moonlight when I was with Rob on the Apache Reservation is they never seem to stand still unless they're hiding. And it reminded me of our canoe trip, the black figure we kept seeing about, I don't know, I'm guessing 500 yards, probably pretty close. When we saw it, it never seemed to be standing still, and for some reason, your eyes couldn't focus on it because of that.
Yeah, and he kept coming down into the water, coming out of the water, coming down into the water. Chimpanzee size, probably 5 feet tall. And, you know, we've got the photos, and we've got the photos to show that there's nothing there, and we've got the photos to show that there is something there, which proves absolutely nothing. But that's okay. I mean, you know, for argument's sake, we've got something in the water, and we've got something not in the water. But,
right.
Yeah, once again, he was a true greasy bastard.
Yeah.
He seemed
like he was, when he was there, you'd try to focus on him, and he seemed like he was shaking, swaying, and moving his arms. Sometimes we could distinctly see the arms going up and down. And, you know, that's why I'm so keyed in on your terminology. I love it. I use it all the time. I hope you don't mind me stealing it. I always give you credit, though. But that's why it fits so well, because that's sort of what they're doing. It's almost like they know. And it's almost, can they possibly know where these cameras are and go into that mode when they're near the cameras, too? Because you never get a clear shot, but yet something sets off these cameras.
You know, if we go back to the San Juan trip, you got to talk about the footprint that was in stealth mode. Alex and I were getting breakfast ready, getting coffee ready, and we look off to our left, and we're right on the riverbank. We're right there. We had some incredible winds the day before, and I shut us off early, and I said, we're going to pull off and camp here, and we were right on the river. And we see this incredible print, and I'm like, wow, we had company. Wow, we're getting cameras and everything else, get pictures of it. As we're going to do that, it's as if the thing that made the print stepped out of it, and it filled in with water while we were watching it.
And the print was there for a few minutes, perfect. It was perfect for a few minutes.
Yeah.
We stood up, we looked at it, we got our cameras, we both took pictures of it, and by the time we took a picture of it, it was gone. Or close to gone. I was looking at that picture that I got, and you can barely recognize that it's a print. Yet when we first looked at it, it was a perfect, well-defined print. It looked brand new in the mud, /silt/sand. And, you know, we walked right up to the edge of that water, to the edge of that print, and if there was something there, and obviously we're talking something maybe a little supernatural, if possible, we stood face-to-face with it. And I don't know, face-to-face with me and you, I think I'd probably run away, too.
Hey, JC, you got Darren there with you, too?
Yes, I do. This is Darren Weeks.
Yeah.
He's part of the Crypto Folk Owners crew. And
he's a Native American? Navajo Sioux?
Navajo Sioux, yes. And he's one of our trackers, and he's the best shot next to Jonathan Lee.
Wow.
He's the best shot of the crew. So, and it's not about, this is a personal thing. You know, we go out and we target practice, and it's not about anything bad. But I tell you what, I'll put you on with Mr. Weeks. God bless
JC,
you guys.
Thanks
bless
for coming talking. On, JC.
Thank you for
thanks,
your
JC.
Recovery. Marco Bill. Here's Mr. Darren Weeks.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Darren. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Just kick back, listen to the show.
You got Alex and Marco here. Hey, so the question of the night, Darren, is what got you into Bigfoot hunting, into Sasquatch, and into cryptozoology? I know you guys got a pretty active area up there. I didn't even get to ask JC about what's going on recently, so that I'll make sure I ask you. But what got you into it in the first place? What got you interested? Just outside of normal curiosity, was there a one incident or many incidents that got you interested?
Yeah, we had a few incidents when I was 14. I'm 40 years old now, but when I was 14 years old, I lived in Oroville, California, and we had approximately 10 acres of land. And one day we were down the hill on our property shooting BB guns, and we came across a footprint. And it was pretty big, and we started following where these footprints were leading from. We had a small stream on our property, and when we tracked the footprints back to where they came from, it had stepped over a barbed wire fence that separated our property from our neighbors. And it was a little unnerving because nothing, you know, the barbed wire, it wasn't disturbed at all. No bends in it, no kinks. And
so it cleared.
What's that?
So it cleared it, basically, without touching it.
It stepped clear over the fence line, and my uncle that I was with, he told me, pump your BB gun up as much as you can, and when I say now, I want you to run up to the hill, you know, back to the house, and we got up there, and told my mother's husband about it, and he kind of laughed it off, and, you know, it was kind of forgotten, and then around dinner time, we were getting everything ready to eat, and it wasn't even a howl. This, what we heard was a roar, and it was so loud that you could actually feel your chest like reverberate, or, you know, like a vibration in your chest. I mean, it was that loud.
I had a growling incident last year, a different one than what Mitch just spoke of. And that's exactly the way I described it to people. You could feel the vibrations, the percussion, the roll, R-O-double-L, in the voice. Because, you know, when somebody screams, their voice will start breaking up, actually, to the sound waves. And you could feel the vibration in the roar. So I know exactly what you mean. That reinforces what a lot of people have said. And when was this?
This was back in, like, 1983, and needless to say, dinner got put up and all the guns came out. You know, we didn't know what it was. We'd never heard anything like that before, and the house we had that we were renting, it was two stories, so we were up on the balcony. We turned all the floodlights on, and whatever it was we heard, it was up by the house, but it stayed out of the beam of the light. But you could hear it moving around. You could hear the branches crunching under its feet. And we had a garden with vegetables. We had apple trees and cherry trees and some orange trees. And I think what it was might have been after, you know, the food that was available outside, but we just kept a watch on everything, and you could hear grunting, you could hear the growling, the heavy breathing. It was really unnerving. I mean, 14 years old, scared the crap out of me.
And sounds like it was just trying to do a little shopping. You were the local farmer's market for him.
Oh, yeah.
That was a joke. So, you know, you could hear it, but you couldn't see it. So it was...
Exact.
It was kind of right nearby. Now, did you find any evidence the next day or that night?
We went out the next day. We were... walking around, we could see where branches had been snapped off, and I didn't realize what we were looking at the time until later on. Last year, my little boy, we had met up with Tom Biscardi, JC, and Steve Coles, and Jonathan Lee, and we were out by a river, and my little boy had... He's got a real keen eye for a lot of things. He's found some hares, footprints by the river, and even the branches that were broken. And the way the branches were broken, it was exactly how I remembered the branches from when I was 14 years old being broken. They were radial twists, like something had grabbed, twisted, and yanked down, or, you know, just twisted and break, you know.
Sometimes it seems like they're breaking them to make sure they don't get in their way. Other times it seems like they've broke them and actually pointed them in a direction. Maybe
yeah.
Directional markers. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, like a trail marker.
Yep, I seriously think they do that. And sometimes you'll see large, you know, I wouldn't call them branches, but small saplings, where they've actually taken the whole tree, bent it and twisted it, and locked it in behind another tree and bent that one over it. And there's just no way in nature that that could happen. And you wonder why they're doing it. Is it a sign? Or is it just boredom? Or is it a sign? Well, is it some form of communication, directional marker? Does it mark their territory? What does it do? I've always wondered, and you as a tracker, you probably have some thoughts on that.
Well, you know, Alex, I want to thank you, Darren, for joining us tonight and sharing with us. And we got to go to commercial here shortly, but and we have another guest. But thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you on another time on another show. We have a little more time. You got some very interesting background.
Okay. Well, I do thank you guys for allowing me the opportunity.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay.
Darren,
I'll meet everybody later.
We'll catch up with you soon up in the Four Corners. I'll be up there before the year's out.
All outstanding.
Thank you, Darren.
All right, bye.
Go ahead, Marco. Make us some money.
Well, here I go. You know what that is, right?
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints? Up and ball club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is so light.
And everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned around.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, Alex, we're back, and I didn't see any green things falling out of the sky, but I did bring on Phoebe Adams. Phoebe, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Glad to be on the show.
There's my girl. How you doing, Phoebe?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not bad. Phoebe's one of my most popular members and one of our brightest members in AZCRO. She's had some good experiences, too. But the question of the night, Phoebe, what got you into squatching? What got you into Bigfoot hunting?
Well, even as a little girl, I believed that Sasquatch was real. I never really doubted that. But it was kind of one of those things that always just sits in the back of your mind until something happens. And it'll be 3 years ago in November. My husband and kids and I were driving back from a NASCAR race down in Phoenix. And
I was there yesterday, and Monday, and I thought of you, just so you know.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we were coming into Little Green Valley, heading up the rim on 260, and as you come out of Payson, and it was about midnight. I was the only one awake and pretty much the only one on the road, and as I happened to look off to my left, standing next to a big, huge road sign, I saw one. And when I think about it now, it's amazing how much detail you get in just a couple of seconds. But it was a little bit taller than the road sign, so I would say probably 8.5 feet tall. I'm guessing it was a male because I got a clear view of its chest and I didn't see any breasts. But it was a light color, which we seem to have more of those here in Arizona. And I think it has something to do with the color of our soil and also the oak leaves that
we
get here. I think that's how they blend in better.
I agree. I think you're right. I noticed over in the Apache Reservation, when I was with Tom, we got a lot of reports of white, not a lot, but numerous reports, more than one or two, of white creatures and silver creatures. Of course, we all know the big silver backstory, but these were white and silvery creatures. And, you know, I never thought of that, but maybe that's a way they can hide in the aspens and near the lighter fields, because where you saw it coming from was basically, it's Little Green Valley, but it's a big, wide-open pasture down below the highway, so it would have had to climb up towards the highway, but that's
A huge
strip of land. Now, give us a brief overview of your other experiences, too. You've had a lot happen in just the past couple years with me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've had some great expeditions. Last July with Mitch, we were down in the Rose Creek Cut Zone area, and the little buggers kept setting off our game cams, and then they would walk through camp. And we actually got a footprint right next to Mitch and Preston's tent. And then right in front of my tent, an offering of moss had been left for me. And so we looked into that, and moss has healing properties. And I've been ill for quite a long time. And so then we started looking around at the trees around the campground, and the The closest tree with any moss was probably about 20 yards up the mountain, and it was laid right in front of my door.
And this was a large piece. Was it rolled up?
It was. It was a large piece of moss, fresh. It wasn't wilted at all. You could see where it had been torn off of the bark of the tree. And it was really just absolutely spectacular.
Had you guys left anything out that night? I know you know, sometimes we do the opposite of what we're supposed to do camping because we're trying to attract the creatures to come in.
Well, I had had the crazy idea that maybe glow sticks might attract them, but that didn't seem to do anything. We also did some call blasting. I had made a CD of different calls I've found on the internet and looped them all together, and that didn't do anything except scare some campers away, which was kind of funny. But,
now, before we run out of time...
Yeah, we have. we're 1 minute into our other guest.
There you go. There you go.
Phoebe.
All right, Phoebe.
Phoebe, I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
I sure appreciate it. Well, this time you didn't have broken feet and all that stuff. My God, you went through so much just to be on this show. I feel bad.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. I'm just glad to have the chance.
Well, thank you for coming on, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Phoebe. We'll put those sound files up on the forum website, and we'll let people hear them if we already have them.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, as long as you don't mind. All right, Marco, who's next? Who's next, Marco?
Well, next we got Steve Desmore. Steve, how are you tonight? Hello, Steve.
How you doing, Marco?
Doing great.
And Alex, of course.
Hey, Steve, how are you, man?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
Not bad. Plugging away. How's that leg?
My leg's back to 100%.
Excellent. So the question of the night, big man, is what got you into squatching? Now, I know this story, and I think you might have even told it here before, but maybe you can give us a quick synopsis of it again, because that's a really cool, interesting story.
Well, basically, my car was attacked by a Sasquatch about several years ago. I got the full front view of him. I was out doing something I shouldn't be doing. And I was collecting mussels, which in Kentucky is illegal to do unless you're doing it with a boat. And the creature come down the hill on us, and I thought it was the cover. I thought the animal was going to come down and call us gun. But when I hit the lights on the car, there's the Sasquatch. So, it was right there. And it took off hollering into the woods. And I'm looking at my buddy. I'm like, man, did you see what I seen? He's like, yeah.
Did you actually hit him?
Well, he actually hit us. He
ran right into your car, the side of your car.
Yeah, he actually threw something at my car. And shortly thereafter, he threw a large hog at my car, hit the front of my car. And I took off. You know, I threw a drive and stomped it. And he slid off the back of my car. Well, he was trying to jump on the car, and I had a big wad of hair, and I had the body print. There was several footprints and everything, but it was buried. It was covered up because, you know, they don't want people to quit camping or anything like that. So, you know, that's just the way that our government or whoever deals with it, they try to say it doesn't exist. But, you know, since I've met Thomas Gardy and I've met, you know, been a part of a couple of expeditions and things. I've had several encounters myself, and I've had numerous sightings of tracks and casts. You know, I've made casts. I've done everything you can think of.
What's going on? What are your plans for the rest of the year for Bigfoot hunting? Are you active now, or are you going to get out and about some more? What's going on?
Well, this afternoon, I talked to Marco, and I decided I was going to go up and check on my haunts to see if there was something, you know, I could bring on to the show tonight. And, of course, I messed around a little too long. I actually just called in. I was late calling in because I went up, and I found where a creature had made a nest. And there's six distinct tracks there. They're about 13 inches long, not real big tracks. But it's a perfectly good nest. You can see where it took and brought something from a field because it's grass, and there's not a field within a mile of there.
So you found a nesting area where it's pulled in some grass and made us. Now, Mitch and I have found numerous locations like that. We've even found some natural, and I wouldn't say natural, but lean-tos that they've made out of branches and dragged other branches and leaned them up there and then put leaves and such in, and twigs and you know, tender branches. Now, have you got this area staked out at all? You got any cameras on it?
Well, this afternoon, when I went up, I didn't take anything with me. I just went up to see if I could find something or locate some characters that may have heard something or whatever. And I'm going to be going back to it because this area where it's at is just on the side of an old orchard. It's got apples all over it. And it's 170,000 acres up there where I go. And this orchard's probably 6 miles from a road that's used now.
Wow.
It goes back there. And I found in there that they were man-like, but not size.
The similarities to all these stories are always amazing and never cease to amaze me. The you know, you said an apple orchard. Well, the areas that we searched in the hot zone are a lot of old abandoned ranches, and one of the things they have is apple orchards and gardens. Darren was mentioning the same. It's really amazing how the stories almost repeat over and over and over, yet they're real experiences by real individual people, as we like to say here at Bigfoot Live.
Well, you know, I spent some time out in the woods with you, you know, and we've had a few experiences.
We have, and I hear you lost about 50 pounds, so I'm going to have trouble keeping up with you the next time.
Yeah, I've got some major energy, and I need to spend it somewhere because, you know, I'm doing this for my health, but I'm doing it to be able to get out after I went out with you guys. And I realized how bad that I really was. I had to lose the weight. I had to get my health back because I messed my knee up. Well, I've done that now, and that's all I think about is getting back out and doing something with people that are crumbly.
Good for you, and God bless. That sounds awesome. And you were by no means out of shape. You were in good shape. You were a big boy. So I can only imagine what you look like now. I'd be glad to be with you anytime out there. We'll have to do it. Marco, who's next?
Well, you know who. It's Mr. Tom Biscardi. Take care, Steve. Thank you.
You too. Thanks.
Good night, Steve.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing great. Alex
excellent,
is doing great.
Excellent. Listen, I got to tell you guys, this has been a wonderful trip for us. As a matter of fact, we're in one of these places, and Bob says, oh, let's eat here. And it's one of those all-you-can-eat joints. And I said, Bob, I says, I'm going to call in. He says, well, talk for me, too, will you? He says, the food is delicious. And I can't get him from eating the food. He's incredible tonight. Well, listen, I got to tell you something, guys. I'm just totally stoked. And I mean stoked. Let's see, we got A.K. Riley, we got Chris Riley, of course, Alex Hearn, he's going to be coming out with us, me and Java Bob, we've got Rob Price, he'll be coming, we've got somebody coming out from Texas, Larry's coming, off the top of my, Roger's coming. I can't remember the people we got coming, but I'm going to tell you something, guys. I have never felt so confident in my life as I feel about what's going to happen with us over the course of the next 30 days. I'm not going to predict the day. You never know. You might be able, we may be lucky the first day. We may not be lucky at all. It may go into two months, 3 months. Who knows? But I'm going to tell you what. We're going to stake the area out. We're going to be there. We're going to grow roots. And hell or high water, We're going to come back with something this time. I have never felt so confident. And those of you who know me, okay, I rarely go out anymore. I normally send the boys out. For me to go out, there's got to be something awful compelling for me to come out there, and it caught my eye, caught my interest. But other than that, fellas, I'm just happy as a lark. Who'd you guys have on tonight?
Well, we had six guests. We had Mitch Waite, Rob Price, J.C. Johnson, a tracker with the J.C., Darren Weeks, Phoebe Adams, Steve Dismore, and now you.
Hey, what did Steve say about that guy down there in Kentucky, about that blog squatching? Was it a bird or was it a paper bag? You know, one of those garbage bags.
I don't know, but Steve is here. He can answer you.
Steve, did you hear about it?
Hey, Steve, go ahead, buddy. I unmuted you. Did you hear what Tom asked?
Hi, Steve.
I don't really think that was me. That there's got me kind of thrown off. That must have been someone else.
Well, it's happening down there in Kentucky.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I know is happening in Kentucky. I found a nest today, and I found six 13-inch tracks in an apple orchard. There's something going on up here. But other than that, I'm trying to track down the notorious officer up in the land between the lakes that supposedly has more than just a picture. He supposedly has hair. He supposedly has a short film.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you get him, let us know, and you know, we'll take a look at what he's got.
You got it.
Steve, congratulations, buddy. I understand that one of your cohorts called me, and I forget his name. Forgive me if you're listening, but he says you're starting to shape up good, man. You lost a bunch of weight, huh?
Yeah, I've lost 50 pounds.
Good for you, pal.
Exercising, trying to get back in shape to where I can hit them woods, and I'm actually not a liability. I'm someone that can actually be a help.
Oh, that would be super. You know what? You're never a liability. You were a great help to us. As a matter of fact, A.K. Riley asked me about you today and his son, Chris. And I told him, I says, he was doing well, and I would have loved to have seen him out on this trip. And, you know, I'm going to make a plea out to everybody out in Bigfoot land, okay? I'm not like the rest of these groups, okay? I've always invited everybody, and you don't have to pay a dime, okay? I invite anybody who's in Arizona or wants to come to Arizona, you come out and you be my guest. You want to be a part of the glory? You come out and be my guest, okay? You're going to work. I'm going to put you to work. I'm going to tell you that right now. And those of you who've been out there, they all work because I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to house you. Steve Dismore is proof of that. He'll tell you. Do you eat good when you're with me, Steve?
I eat great when I was with you. I couldn't have asked for anything more. But like I tell everybody, this isn't a fake world. You will work your ass off or you won't go.
That's right. And that's no bullshit. I don't stand for bullshit. I don't stand for nonsense. You're a man, be a man. And everybody that's been out there with us, we're men. You know, and those that couldn't handle the heat, we got them out the kitchen real quick.
Now, Tom, there's a few women that have been out there with you, too, and they're women, and they were stood up to test, too.
Man, I'll tell you what, and that's the God's honest truth. We've had some great women with us in the past, okay?
Yeah.
And we got one coming out with us now, I understand, too, from Texas. And I can't wait until we all get back there together and do what we know how to do best, and it's a long time coming. And again, those who are real, none of these bloggers and forum people, those who are real, you call me. Get a hold of me through the service. It's on there, and it says contact us on our website. You want to come out? Now will be your chance. Now will be your chance to actually see something that's real. None of that bullshit, okay? You're going to hear some tree knocking. You're going to hear some guttural sounds. You're going to hear some vocalizations like you never heard before in your life, okay? I don't know what Wake talked about or if AP was on today or the other guys, this is the area where it's hot as hell, okay? You may be one of the people that will make history that's on our team. We're going to be rolling 24-7, and I'm not coming back. We're staying there, okay? As a matter of fact, I've got a couple of stringers coming out. Next month, we're going to be on the cover of a big magazine in Arizona. They're coming out. As a matter of fact, they're coming out on Saturday. Do the big story. We're going to be on the front cover of this big magazine. They got over 1 million circulation. Then I've got another organization coming out. CNN News is coming out. They're going to film us for 3 days out there on the regiment. And I'm going to tell you, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. We've got shelter. We've got no running water. We've got no electricity, no bathrooms. But we got 40 acres of prime territory, guys. So
do not
those
pick up
were men enough.
Do not pick up the oak. Do not pick up the wrong oak leaves.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. But I'll tell you what. Those who are up for the challenge, those who are real men or real women, are invited. Okay. Those who've been there in the past, you're invited. Those who talk story, those who talk bullshit, stay home where you belong, okay? Because I've had enough of that.
Yeah,
I want the real, that's right. We want the real people, like the Steve Dismores and the Alex Ahearns and the guys that are coming. These are the real people, man. They know how to get down with nature and make it all happen. And you're invited. Just call me. I'll ask you a few questions, and if you're up for it, you sign the release. Boom, you're aboard, man. You'll be a part of the team, possibly part of a team that's going to make history. Listen, fellas, I got nothing more to say. I love yous all.
I got to ask you one question,
so
Tom, before I forget to ask you. And this is about coming up on the 21st. What's going to happen on the 21st on television?
Oh, gosh, yes. On the 21st of this month, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Monday. On the Biography Channel, the program's called Strange, you will finally get to see myself and my team out what we know how to do best, and that's look for Bigfoot, search for Bigfoot. This is one of the pilots that they filmed. It's called Strange on the Biography Channel. It comes on at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So gauge it. If it's Western time, it's 7 p.m., but check with your local listings. It'll be on the 21st. And that day, whoever's out there with us, we're going to go to the nearest town, and we're all going to go out there and find a restaurant or a lounge or something, and we're all going to get to see ourselves on TV. So we ain't going to miss it neither. But thank you for reminding me, Marco. And Alex, after
yes,
the show tonight, give me a call, okay?
Will do. Was planning on it anyways, of course.
Well, Tom, why don't you give out the ending call to close the show?
Well, I don't have my tutor with me.
Well, I got
the
it.
Only thing I could.
I got it. No,
you got it. Go ahead.
Hold on here. Well, I got it, but here we go.
From here, there, and everywhere. Good night, America.
Good night, Tom. Alex,
good night,
thank
Pop.
You.
Good night,
good night, my friend.
Thank you, Marco. You did a great job. Thank you very much.
And good night, everyone. We'll see you next week.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints up in Boston?
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is like
everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody
turned around
the hand
and
into the
woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends.